Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. Here's what we have in store for you for this July 29th, 2013 edition.
Tonight, the government promises to stop lying, while the CIA will now openly propagandize the American public. Then, new footage of the Michael Hastings crash emerges, and Gigi Urnetta sits down with Mike Zullo to discuss Barack Obama's falsified documents. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. Top story, headline. Government promises to stop lying. Well, there's a lie right there because of Drudge Report Spotlight. On Thursday, the DOD bemoaned DrudgeReport.com and the fact that because of citizen journalists, social media, and other online platforms reporting news in real time, the public is more quickly becoming aware of the constant patterns and contradictions and habitual lying by the government. And this is a quote here. We cannot hide our bad news stories. Bad news gets out one way or the other, and we must come to terms with telling bad stories as well as good. So I like what they say there. They don't even try to hide it anymore. It's just, you know, we're out there lying to you, and this is what we're going to do, and we'll try to do a little bit better job. And I just want to look at one more point in the article. The DOD's announcement that it will become more engaged with journalists is even more unsettling in the light of the fact that just 2 weeks ago, the CIA was given a green light to flood America with even more propaganda. So, propaganda. Let's see what this is. We told you about this 2 weeks ago. CIA will now openly propagandize Americans. Because they weren't supposed to be doing this, but then they just came out and said, well, under the NDAA, you can thank your good President Obama for that one. We'll propagandize you any way we see fit. And this is in reaction to the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, passed as part of the NDAA, which will allow the CIA to flood America with even more government propaganda. So I definitely encourage you to go and read that for yourself. Yeah, that's what it is right there. CIA. CIA Operation Mockingbird. It's all right there in the article. Now, if you're wondering what's going to happen, what's going to be different from the things I see on TV already, and, you know, by and large, you probably are correct with your major networks. A lot of propaganda being pushed on those already. But we have this mock DHS news report depicts gun owners as terrorists.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special report. Reports of possible illegal activity by a local militia group appears to have spurred law enforcement into action. John Gleason has our story.
This is the scene of an intensive investigation into the operations of an extremist group reportedly planning a series of terrorist attacks on U.S. cities. Details are sketchy, but allegedly the militia was using this house to store a cache of military weapons. A hazmat unit is now inside the house searching for evidence, while behind me are other local fire and hazmat teams. The FBI is here, as well as other agencies. Earlier today, police raided the house and arrested two men on charges of illegal possession of firearms, but they apparently found more than they were bargaining for.
And I love the pageantry of all this. You got the guys in the full hazmat suits for a couple guys who have guns, and maybe they weren't supposed to have guns for XYZ reason. And then you see the cop running up to the camera guy at the end, like, no. Had that been the city of Boston, which actually happened, you'd have cops pointing guns at people in the faces. And we've shown you those clips of the cop running down the street like he is Rambo, pointing the guns in the cameraman's faces and so forth. And this is what's going on. They want you to be brainwashed, pretty much to the point of being a lab animal.
Mice go where they've never been before. Literally. False memories have been implanted into mice, scientists say.
Implants. Those aren't your memories. They're somebody else's.
A team was able to make the mice wrongly associate a benign environment with a previous unpleasant experience from different surroundings. One day, they hoped to remove fear associated with the conditions of post-traumatic stress disorder. At the University of Southern California, Theodore Berger, a biomedical engineer, says he and his partners have not tested human and neural prosthesis, but their experiments show how a silicone chip externally connected to rat and monkey brains by electrodes can process information just like actual neurons. Ultimately, humans have highly unreliable memories, so step aside. Let them help you. InfoWars reported about the RFID chip implants being used for VIP members of a nightclub, the Baja Beach Club. VIP clubgoers willfully implanted microchips back in 2005. And recently we covered microchipping our pets. But what about smart dust? Much like an RFID transmitter is read, a team at the University of California, Berkeley say the brain can interface with a computer. Engineers explain how smart dust could spy on your brain. It's best explained that the neural dust is interrogated by another component placed beneath the scale, but powered from outside the body. This generates the ultrasound that powers the neural dust and sensors that listen out for their response. Rather like an RFID. More spying? As if the NSA doesn't do it enough. Get your copy of the new DVD, State of Mind, and see how it exposes the technology behind mass mind control. Visit InfoWarsShop.com and secure your copy today. I'm Gigi Arnetta with an InfoWars Nightly News Alert.
Michael Hastings' death. New video of crash emerges. Now, I want everybody to take a look right there. You can see the car speeding, and boom, it's a big fireball. This is allegedly taken from a nearby restaurant where the Hastings incident took place. And you can see it right there. It's a big blaze of fire, and we're going to show it to you again. The car speeds by, and just a second now you see this giant flame of fireball. You know, you don't see special effects that good in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, but we're supposed to believe that this car just sped down the street and just hit a tree and just blew up. As I always point out, you think about a NASCAR race with these big muscle cars, and they crash into walls, and they crash into other cars. And, yeah, sometimes they do have engine fires, but they don't just blow up in such spectacular fashion as what we saw right there. Now, this video was released by Los Angeles journalist Michael Krikorian, and, you know, who posted this on his site. And I do believe he's taken it down from his site. We're going to try to look into that and see exactly why that was. Why would you take down such a video? If it is a real video, you know, there's a lot of fabrications and things out of that. Out of this story, but hopefully we can find out what's exactly going on in the Hastings case and get justice for this guy, because I don't want that to be me or you or anybody else. I don't want your car to explode when you're driving down the street because you knew too much or you exposed one too many stories. So hopefully we can find out what's exactly at the bottom of that rabbit hole. Rand Paul targets Egyptian aid. Paul's amendment comes as growing numbers of senators are rebelling against the White House's decision not to call the Mohamed Morsi ouster a military coup. And it goes on to talk about the $1.5 billion in nearly mostly military costs. The foreign aid skeptic proposes spending money on the country's crumbling bridges instead. And I'm definitely understanding the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I'm from. We have very bad roads and bridges, and I'm not kidding you. We've had 7-foot concrete slabs fall out from the bottom of bridges and almost kill people. So our roads are in very bad shape in Oklahoma. I'm not sure how they are in the rest of the country, but we could definitely use that aid in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And more on this, you know, they have the aid going to this Egyptian group, Morsi. You know, you have the whole military coup, which the United States does not want to admit that they're involved in, or at least call it a coup to the point they could be convicted, or not necessarily convicted, but I guess convicted in the state of public opinion of helping these people ouster a coup, something that we're definitely not supposed to be involved in. Meanwhile, I believe it's 17 people were killed this past weekend in clashes with Egyptian security forces. So that's the situation going on, and I definitely think we need to watch where our money is going, especially when it's $1.5 billion. Meanwhile, Obama's having private golf lessons with Tiger Woods and so forth. Autopsy. Beanbag rounds fired by police killed Park Force man, age 95. According to an email press release from the Park Forest Police, officers were sent to help a private ambulance company with a combative residence at the home. The Victory Center Park Forest, a supportive living community for adults 65 and older, according to the website, Warner, that's the gentleman who was shot, was being involuntarily committed to the medical facility by staff at the Victory Center. When police arrived, Warner was threatening the staff and paramedics with a metal cane and a 2-foot metal shoehorn. A shoehorn. Wow, that sounds pretty dangerous to me, the release said. Police demanded that he drop the cane and shoehorn, but he did not comply and picked up a 12-inch butcher-type knife. At this point, he was shot with the non-lethal instruments of beanbags. And anybody who's not familiar with this, you're basically shot with a beanbag shotgun shell. That's basically what it is. It still kicks with all the force of a shotgun shell. It's just designed not to penetrate your body, as, you know, birdshot or other things could do. So, you know, this man was shot with this. Another incident on these non-lethal things, your tasers, your beanbags, your rubber bullets. And even if they don't kill you, they can have very serious health effects, as was the case in this gentleman. He actually died from his injuries. So keep this in mind every time they say that, well, we use non-lethal instruments, we use the gas. You know, people have choked to death on gas, you know, pepper spray. People who are asthmatic, people have gone in cardiac arrest from being tased. This man got internal injuries from being shot with pretty much a beanbag shotgun shell and died from those injuries. But we'll see if anybody is ever going to be held responsible for the death of this man, age 95. I'm not exactly sure how dangerous a 95-year-old can be if he's holding any type of non-firearm. But I guess the police in Park Forest thought that was necessary, necessary to that situation. Now let's move on to this. Protesters call out APD on Friday's officer-involved shooting. This is a situation that happened right here in the city of Austin. A gentleman went to a bank after the bank had been robbed. Obviously, he didn't know that the bank had been robbed. So the police were like, maybe this is the suspect returning to the scene of the crime. The cops questioned the guy. He says, hey, I didn't know the bank was robbed. I'm sorry. I'll get out of here. The police say, hold on. You're not free to go. The guy takes off running. The police chase after the guy, shoot him. And then after, go back to that. I want people to see this. It says, go down a little bit, investigating the robbery. Police have confirmed that Jackson is not suspected in the Benchmark Bank robbery. So that's how investigations are going in the city of Austin. They're shooting people's dogs. They're shooting people who were not involved in bank robberies. But, you know, we find that out after we shot the guy, after he's laying dead on the ground with blood coming out of him. That's when we've concluded that he was not involved in the bank robbery. And even if he was involved in a bank robbery, you can't just chase somebody down the street and shoot him. Then we just have this whole big talk about George Zimmerman and so forth. So that's the situation with that. Just cops acting wild, and hopefully somebody will be held responsible. You know, we've had Art Acevedo, the chief of police here in the city of Austin. Hopefully he'll hold somebody accountable for that. FBI recovered 105 missing and sexually exploited children, which is good news because we don't talk too positively about the FBI that often, but it's a good thing we have this on here. The FBI says they've recovered 105 missing and exploited children over the weekend. Good. Let's go to the second quote. The FBI made the announcement on Monday morning and reportedly has arrested 150 pimps involved in selling minors through an underground sex trade that exploited missing children ages 13 through 17 around the country. So I think about the 1993 World Trade Center bombings. I think about the Boston bombing. Hey, don't look at any other pictures except these pictures. But we do have good FBI agents doing the good work of good men and women. So very much kudos to the people at FBI putting 150 pimps in jail, and also 105 children are now free. Now we'll move on to our final story of the night. Kokesh held without bond for a crime of filming himself performing an utterly harmless, quote, crime. And the article reads, a D.C. Superior Court judge has ordered that a veteran and activist accused of openly carrying a shotgun in D.C.'s Freedom Plaza, that's an oxymoron, held without bond. During a preliminary hearing Monday, an attorney representing Adam Kokesh argued that the stunt filmed and posted on YouTube was nothing more than a political theater show. And then the judge said this, I disagree. I consider your client to be a very dangerous man. The judge said, this is not a political statement. So exercising your rights at a very corrupt law that has actually been overturned is not a political statement. It makes you a very dangerous man in D.C. So hopefully we can get some freedom for Adam Kokesh, some justice. And he went on the Alex Jones, well, he wasn't on the Alex Jones radio show, but Alex commented on this a little bit earlier today. And he said that Kokesh said basically the drugs were planted. You know, he says, yes, I did have the shotguns and so forth in my home. And he had a very nice gun safe. I wish I had a gun safe like that. But he said not the mushrooms and all the other drug paraphernalia. That was not his. That was planted evidence. And we've talked to the lawyers who said that this stuff was planted as well, because the police and the other forces came in and with big bags and basically planted the evidence. So hopefully we can get some justice and get to the bottom of this very unfortunate situation. We'll move now to our quote of the day. This is from Benjamin Franklin. Where liberty is, there is my country. And that is from Benjamin Franklin. Now, Operation Paul Revere is our film contest, and it's finally coming to a close. Today on the Alex Jones Radio Show, we announced the third place winner. And you can see it right there. The cash prize is the $5,000 for the third place. The second place is going to be announced tomorrow, and then the first place the next day. But congratulations to Political Earth, your third place winner right there. It's a great film, great animated film. Definitely encourage you to go to Infowars.com/P and watch that for yourself. And like I said, the first and second place are going to be announced in the coming days, so stay tuned for that. But if you like to support filmmakers like the people in the Operation Paul Revere contest, you can stop by the Infowars shop and pick up State of Mind. You can see it right there on your screen. For $19.95, the Blu-ray is just $5 extra. It's a great film. It gives you the psychology of control. It has many people in it. It has Alex Jones as well as many others, so definitely check that out at the InfoWars shop. And also, if you want to support us, stop by PrisonPlanet.tv, and you can actually watch State of Mind on PrisonPlanet.tv, as well as many other things as the Alex Jones radio show, the nightly news, the special reports, and all that is right there on PrisonPlanet.tv. Now, stay tuned, because right after this break, we'll be back with Gigi Arnetta, and she's going to be talking to Mike Zullo. He has more information about the Obama birth certificate. And after that, stay tuned. We're going to have another Paul Revere entry. This one is The Futurist. It's a great film. You can see it right there on Infowars.com/P. And you can see both those right after this break.
Now you can watch Alex Jones live at Infowars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
You can also browse the network, the InfoWars Nightly News,
and over 60 movies and documentaries all together in one place.
You can watch the Alex Jones radio show live as it happens.
So check it out, InfoWars.com/show.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquamedics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with the new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Today we have Mike Zullo in studio with me to talk about the new discovery he has on the Obama birth certificate and what his next steps are in this situation. Mike, tell us a little bit about the recent discoveries you found on the Obama birth certificate.
Well, we were really fortunate. For a long time we were trying to get a certified document examiner to verify our work and our methodology. We put the document through 1,200 computer forensic tests, and we couldn't find anyone to do it. A gentleman who was helping us tried 212 different document examiners throughout the country. None of them wanted anything to do with it. They gave us excuses ranging from just no to this has got to do with the president, I don't want to get involved, to you need the original in order for me to compare it. Well, that's really not a true statement. The original has nothing to do with this because this is an original fabrication. There is no original of this document. This isn't even a document. It's a PDF file. We were fortunate enough, though, through a chain of events, to come across a document examiner who lives in Hawaii. His name is Reed Hayes. Reed Hayes has over 20 years' experience, is a court-recognized forensic document examiner, has testified in numerous cases for the state of Hawaii, and as fate would have it, testified for Perkins Coie as a document expert. Perkins Coie is the law firm that represents Mr. Obama on every one of these eligibility issues and is the law firm that dispatched Mr. Obama's personal attorney to pick up the two certified copies of Mr. Obama's long-form birth certificate that the administration says they're in possession of. So it's going to be very difficult for them to impeach Mr. Hayes on any level because they've used him previously in their own cases. And that then would bring in question about his abilities, you know, in cases that they had already adjudicated.
Now, how was he when you approached him? I mean, was he all in or was he,
no.
Did he think about it for a while?
As a matter of fact, the gentleman that asked me to contact Mr. Hayes, I didn't want to do it. I was so tired of hearing no. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to go through it. Thank God he persisted and he convinced me to get on the phone with him. When I first talked to Mr. Hayes and basically told him what I was looking for, he said no. And I had to explain to him that we were not pursuing the president. We're looking into a fraudulent document, and we think something happened here that maybe the president himself doesn't even know happened. So he agreed, reluctantly. He said, okay, just send me the file. I'll take a quick look at it. And I sent him the file in a very short time. I want to say it's down to like 20 minutes after I sent it.
20 minutes? That's fast.
It was fast.
Okay.
He calls me up and he goes, Mike, there is a problem with this. And I said to him, I said, Reed, that's what I'm trying to say. There's something wrong here, and I need somebody who really knows what they're looking at to verify for me that I'm right. And he did. And in about 3 weeks after that, 4 weeks after that, he gave me a 40-page report. And his conclusion in his very last sentence is it's his professional opinion that the document is a 100% fabrication. I mean, that doesn't get any more damning than that. And for somebody like Mr. Hayes who's got impeccable credentials to put it out there like that, the document is what we've been saying it is. Sheriff Arpaio has called it a forgery. We're calling it a forgery. And now Mr. Hayes is calling it a forgery. The only people who don't want to call it a forgery is the mainstream media.
Well, and the administration.
Obviously, I haven't said anything about it.
And that's another question. Has he been, did he get any phone calls? Has he...
He's getting...
threats?
He's
anything?
Not getting threats. He is getting hate mail, which is how it seems to start.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's getting hate mail from some of the same characters that I get it from, which we do believe are paid operatives from the Democratic side of the aisle that do nothing more than do this kind of disinformation campaign and try, you know, to go out of their way to discredit you. So he seems to be getting a lot of that. You know, but him being from Hawaii, it's going to be really hard.
He was in their camp to begin with, right?
He is in their camp.
It's kind of hard to... Okay, so these 40 pages, can you give us a Cliff Notes version, a shorter version?
I don't want to go into what he said, but all I can tell you is this. Everything that we've said in our press conferences, he has verified. And then he went ahead and did his own work. And I really, you know, I took a precaution with this particular document. There's a lot of civil litigation out there, and they like to take my work and throw it into their civil litigation. Well, this document, I was going to make sure that didn't happen with. So I even went as far as having this document copyrighted. So you can't use it. I have to protect this document. So that is going to be under seal, if you will, until the time comes that we need it. I have to do it that way.
Now, with the U.S. Copyright Office, were you able to get any paperwork back from them yet?
The attorney is handling that. Yeah. I don't know how they do it. But
I'm curious to see what they say,
probably
right?
Probably tell me no.
Right? Sorry, this is unacceptable.
Forget you.
Or they lose it. Or I know what. They'll call the IRS.
There you go.
So when you took a look at the document, what's your perspective on the forgery itself?
You know, I didn't know anything about this when I started this. And actually, we were instructed that Jerome Corsi had a lot of information on this. I had taken some information from Mr. Corsi, and I asked him to come in for about a 14-hour debrief. And we sat for 14 hours, just 2 days, going through everything that Jerry Corsi had. And, you know, it was about 12, 14 hours into this, I was like, you know what, this is all great, but you don't really have anything here. And then he showed me what just flipped it around for me. He showed me the state registrar's stamp. It's on the bottom of the document. It's on one of its own separate layers. And he showed me the way you can move it all around the document by picking it up in totality. You can move this thing like a big block. And I know, and in my limited computer knowledge, I knew there is nothing that can do that by itself. That turned it for me because from a law enforcement perspective, that little placard gives the document its evidentiary value, its authenticity. And if that was placed on there erroneously, the whole document is null and void. So you only need one piece of evidence that overwhelmingly suggests the document has been tampered with. The whole document would be null and void. But it gets worse for the PDF. The PDF is a file, an electronic file. It lives in cyberspace. It was never a hard paper document. So you can't take that into a courtroom. You can't take your computer and go to Social Security and show them, this is my birth certificate. They're not going to give you a Social Security card.
Right, they need the original with the stamp.
They need the original. And we have a theory that the original, the reason why you don't see the original, is it was either something was on it that they don't want you to see, or this was recently created. And I have information, but I cannot get it sourced, if you will. That's maybe not the right way to say it. This person will not come forward, will not come public, that are assuring me that there never was a birth in Kapalani Medical Center. And this person is in a position that would know that. Now, this person, again, doesn't want to come public, but I got information like this, and I get a lot of information like this. So you have to take this and look at it and say, okay, if there was no birth there, Kapalani has never issued a statement saying there was. They have never produced a document saying there was.
Right.
We know Queens Medical Center, where it was first reported to be his birth certificate, says he was never born here. Where did it happen? How could it happen? How could he get a birth certificate if he wasn't born in the state of Hawaii? That's a valid question. When you start looking into Hawaii state law, Hawaii statutes, it's very easy to get a birth certificate.
Well, that's right, because in Hawaii it's a little different than the mainland.
Very different. Very different. Hawaii gives the unique ability for anybody to go in and provide evidence verbally that they know of a birth. And they are compelled to release a birth certificate, take that information, and make a certificate. I don't know where this happens anywhere else. Not only that, you can go in and self-report. as an adult that you were born there. You could have somebody go in other than your mother and father and claim residency for two people that aren't even present, that claim that they worked or lived in Hawaii, have some kind of document, maybe a tax stub or fabricated tax stub, and get a birth certificate for people that the state of Hawaii never even interviewed, and for a child that they've never even seen. It is unbelievable what that state is able to do with birth documents. And the, you know, Inspector General in 2000 issued a report talking about birth certificate fraud. Hawaii is the poster child.
It's the number one.
Everything that he complained
about, he
knew that. Goes in Hawaii. He also said that the birth certificate cannot be used as sole identification of citizenship or identification. So we have a problem, because if you take away that PDF file, the president has shown nothing then to the American people, and we have no supporting documentation to verify anything of that birth narrative. There's nothing out there that says Barack Obama is the dad. There's nothing out there that calls Stanley Ann Dunham the mother other than that birth certificate.
So you have nothing of the parents even in Hawaii.
I believe the mother was in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. We know the father was in Hawaii, or the, I should say purported. Father and mother were in Hawaii. But we also know that INS, at the time Obama Sr. was looking to extend his visa, he delivered up this pregnancy story, that they doubted it. They actually, in their own report, said that we believe that, you know, this may be a sham. This needs to be investigated. Now, what's missing is, what did they do in that investigation? We know Harvard did not want his visa renewed. They pointed to the fact that he had more than one wife. So, you know, we don't know what he was up to.
Is that a trail you're going to try to follow? Or?
We're trying to follow it as best we can, but, you know, those passport records and those INS records are missing. You know, we had sent investigators down to look for INS records for immigration records, people flying in that would have flown in from maybe Kenya to Hawaii back in 1961. And when we got to microfilm reels from August 1st to August 10th, that whole time span disappears. It goes black on those reels of microfilm, and then it picks up again in August 10th. Well, that's important because Obama's birth certificate says August 4th was his birth date. We were thinking maybe August 4th was the day he arrived
right. In
the state of Hawaii. We have no way to know that. The National Archives can't tell us either what happened to those 10 days worth of microfilm.
What about the paperwork from Africa? Is there anything in there?
I have an affidavit from an individual who claims that prior to the first election, and I'm going off of memory on this, prior to the first election, that Black Boots came in, took boxes of birth certificate records out from 1958 to 1962, mm-hmm. and they're gone.
And that was where?
That would be in Kenya.
That was in Kenya.
It was in Kenya. Is it true? You know what? I don't know. I have an affidavit, but, you know, from a guy that I've never met that I can't source, but something in my gut tells me it's true. I mean, it's just not a story you make up.
Well, maybe with more people hearing what's happening now,
yeah. Maybe
someone will come forward.
Well, that's the biggest problem with this whole case. You know, the media has clamped down on this. It's a blackout. It's a media blackout. Mainstream media doesn't want it out there.
No.
Because they know when these stories get out there, cops get phone calls. They know the public starts to engage.
Right.
So they want to keep it as
quiet. Well, they're keeping it as tinfoil, you know, under the tinfoil hat.
That's what they're
saying. So where do you go from here?
Well, Sheriff Arpaio has said from the beginning that he wants to get this to Congress. And I was fortunate. I was able to go to CPAC this year, and I spoke for 2 hours with Texas Congressman Steve Stockman. Congressman Stockman has expressed a lot of interest in helping us, and I think we'll have a meeting or two to come. And if my gut is correct, I think Mr. Stockman is going to help us tremendously.
Well, that would be great.
It'd be great.
We need all the support we can get, right?
You need all the support, but, you know, if Congressman Stockman does do something with this, he's going to need the public support behind him. He's going to need public outcry behind him. They're going to have to push on this issue like they've never pushed before. What's becoming apparent, and you folks have reported on it, NSA with blackmailing individuals seems to be, you know, an everyday occurrence now. You're going to have to push Congress hard, because God only knows what NSA has on those people. And you're going to have to put them in a position that they can't say no. And I think a lot of this is going to hinge on the upcoming elections. You got 214 elections, and a lot of people in that House are up for it. So this might be an opportune time.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens next with Mike Zullo's new discovery with the Obama birth certificate. It seems like the powers that be have to do certain things not necessarily legitimate to get what they need. And you can find out more about the psychology of control in the new DVD, State of Mind. It's shipping right now, so get your copy. And go to prisonplanet.tv and sign up today. You can use your username and password and give it up to 10 people. So do that today. That's it for the nightly news. I'm Gigi Arnetta. Join us tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at Infowars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at Infowars.com/show.
So, Mr. Sorensen, how did it begin?
It was the summer of 99. Delphi essentially sends out spiders, right? Bits of code that crawl the World Wide Web to collect keywords and image data. Much like a poll taken from a segment of the population, Delphi then arranges this information according to any patterns it might recognize via a number of, well, proprietary algorithms. It then distills this information into new keywords, new image data, and outputs it via electrodes that translate this digital data directly into the human brain in the form of original thought.
And what does this data say?
The future. Predicted the Turkey earthquake 5 months later, mentioned the I Love You virus of early last year, even the Concorde crash last July.
Does it ever make mistakes?
Just one. It predicted Al Gore winning the election.
So what you're saying is that the collective subconscious of humanity is a few steps ahead of its conscious self.
In all honesty, I don't know. That's the domain of psychologists, or maybe psychics and prophets, but most definitely no place for someone of my pedigree.
You can level with me, Mr. Sorensen. We're not in court.
Fine. I'll give you my opinion. All right, I don't want to sound too didactic, but if you look at it logically, there might be an explanation. All right, we all know that the proclivities of human nature are generally, well, negative.
That's why this organization exists.
Exactly. So Delphi scans the background chatter of the internet. Think of it as the cosmic background radiation of human interaction and assigns meaning to it, which for some inexplicable reason is found to predict future events. Put two and two together, and to me it seems that humanity is subconsciously willing these events into existence, you know, a creative power lying dormant until now.
Fascinating.
Can you imagine if people wake up to the extraordinary potential they possess and they begin to harness this power?
And this is how you came upon the information that you called 911 about. a few hours ago. What exactly did you see?
Images, mainly. Very striking images. Given Delphi's track record, I'm convinced that this is a serious threat. I drew it as best I could. Obviously, the Twin Towers, World Trade Center.
It was attacked before in 93.
I think in this instance, they'll be attacked by airplanes. Presumably, kamikaze fighters. From what I saw in the render, they look like commercial airliners or possibly military transport, but something roughly that size.
So there's more than one plane?
Two or three. I ripped the electrodes off before the render played out, so I didn't see everything.
John, can you break for a minute?
And there was a third building. I didn't draw it, but I saw it collapse.
Be right back.
It's the secretary.
Mr. Secretary.
Did you want to check on him?
I don't know what to make of this guy. According to our intelligence, he seems to be telling the truth, whether or not he's telling the truth about the machine.
Well, if he's not lying, how the hell else would he source his information?
He knows about Building 7.
Listen to me. I want that machine confiscated and checked out. That's priority number one.
We have assets over there right now.
Good. As for him, we can't let him walk with that kind of information. That's completely unacceptable. He needs to be processed. Understand?
What if we need him to run the machine?
Then too bad. He's a walking national security risk. If he leaks this operation, it will ruin everything.
Understood.
So, what's the next step? I'm sure you agree the evidence is far too compelling to ignore. Not sure if we're able to tamper with the inexorability of Delphi's predictions, but it's worth a shot.
Most definitely is.